Taken for our reading today, Psalm 46. But before we get into it, I'd just love to ask you a question. Where do you turn to in times of trouble? As we come into a new year, none of us know what lies ahead of us. But where do you place your hope? Where do you place your security? Is it in money? Is it in your own ability? Maybe your education? Maybe your success in business and family? In this Psalm, Psalm 46, it seems that all the very best, dependable things are being swept away. Mountains falling into the sea. The earth given way. And yet as we come in to 2025, this psalm would teach us that God and God alone is our refuge and our strength. Help doesn't come from material things, but help comes in life and even in death from the Lord. In the opening three verses of Psalm 46, there's a confession of trust and faith in God, in what may happen, in what is happening, and what will be in the future. So how do we react when our worlds fall apart? When those that we depend on so much are swept away? And in these first three verses, without doubt, there is calamity, there's trouble, there's a real sense of change and loss. Things will never be the same again. And yet as you read through this psalm, there's a very clear declaration of trust in God. And I would love us, as we come into a new year, maybe into a new season, to be able to reflect and say with absolute confidence that God is my strength, and God is my refuge. And there's an element of that that's based on faith. But there's also an element that it's based on past experience. The psalmist here had past experience that God had never failed. God had never let him down. And because of God's help in the past, because he was dependable, no matter what, that in all circumstances he can trust them for the present and for the future. See, our experience of trusting God in the past has a big reflection on how we think and act today. You remember the story in Samuel where King David's about to go out and face Goliath, and he was able to say these words with absolute confidence: God delivered me from the lion on the bear. He thinks back to a time where God was faithful. And therefore he says, so when I face this giant Goliath, he will deliver me from him. And that's the confidence that we need to have in God. The writer in this psalm, without doubt, is predicting the kind of worst case scenario. It's life-shattering, it's life-changing. But he says, we will not be afraid, even though the earth give way. You can't get much worse than that now. The earth falling apart. And I'm sure in 2024, we have all at some time turned on the TV, put on the news, and thought, our earth is falling apart. There's wars all over the earth raging today. But what do we do when the earth is falling apart? What if your world seems like it's about to topple over and fall? Who do we go to? Who do we trust? Paul, writing to the church in Rome, wrote with confidence, and he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to come between my God and me? And he goes on and he says, shall tribulation? No. He said, things above, below? No. There's nothing in all this earth that can separate us from the love of Christ. And then there's a little bit where he breaks in verse 4. And he says there's a river. And I always used to wonder why he changed his kind of tact. In the first three verses, he's painting this worst case scenario. Mountains are crumbling, falling into the seas. The seas are roaring and surging. And then he seems to stop and say, but there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And this river refers to a constant flow of water. And some commentators suggest that this psalm may have been written at the time of the Assyrian siege at Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been cut off, but King Hezekiah had diverted a spring outside the city through a viaduct into a reservoir within the city walls. And throughout the siege, there was a river whose streams made glad the city of God. Without that river, the city would have fallen. Not necessarily from the strength of the enemy without, but through the weakness and the lack from within. But here the psalmist is saying, this source will not fail. This source that brings refreshment and strength is not shaped by earthquakes or life-shattering events. He says God is within her. God dwells within. God dwells within his church today. Not just the big ones you'll be glad to hear, but the little ones. And not just the little ones, but you individually. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If the church is attacked, Christ is attacked. And he says, she shall not be moved. Do you know any enemy that can push God aside? Do you know any force, any strength that can cause God to turn away? Christ within us. And we see why in verses 4 to 7. Because of God's presence. God is within her. If mountains topples and seas roar, all that gives way, then our writer has given us this picture of God in the midst. There's a story in Mark's Gospel. I'm sure you know it well. Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. They're crossing to the other side of the lake. And a storm breaks out. Horrendous storm. We're told that the waves were breaking into the boat. Fear gripped the disciples. They thought they were going to die. And Jesus is asleep at the back of the boat. So they wake him. And he says three little words. Peace. Be still. And Mark's Gospel immediately records for us there was a great calm. I'm sure you've heard it said many, many times, when Jesus is in the boat, you cannot perish. When Christ is in the midst, when Christ is within his church, within his people, then God is our strength and our refuge. God is in the midst. She will not be moved. And then we read in verse 5, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. It's amazing the number of times in the Bible that God or God's people talk about the break of day. Maybe over this past year, you've experienced darkness. You've been through the night season, so to speak. Psalm 30 is maybe one of the better known psalms regarding this. It says, weeping comes in the night, but at the morning there's a shout of joy. In Exodus 14, when God was delivering his people from the hands of Pharaoh, you remember they came to the sea, and Moses stretched out his hands on the sea. This is what it records in verse 27. It says, it happened at the turning of the morning. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the day. On the 23rd of December, I visited a very dear friend. She had been ill for many, many years. She was such a godly, such a lovely, welcoming character. And for the first time, she wasn't able to keep her eyes open. She was tired. She was weak. And she was dying. I returned home, and just a few hours later, I got a phone call to say that she had been called home to be with the Lord. It was a turning of a time of darkness, and I thought when I put my phone down, Sheila couldn't open her eyes this afternoon, but just a few moments ago, she opened them in the presence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no night there. The darkness has been dispelled. Why? Because God is in the midst. Because God is our refuge and our strength. In verses 8 through to 11, we're called to do two things. We're called to witness. It says, come and see. Look, behold. And then we're called in verse 10, well-known verse, to be still. He says he makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. We could replace that, couldn't we? With modern day language. He breaks the missiles. He shatters the tanks. He burns the air defense systems with fire. You see, the United Nations, America, Europe, can't bring peace, no matter how hard to try. Peace has something that has escaped this world since sin entered into it those many, many years ago. Only God can bring peace. Only God can bring peace into your life in 2025. There's a hymn. Apparently it's going to get sung at my funeral. Someone has made that decision. Every birthday, every Christmas, my oldest daughter buys me a text of this verse in some shape or form. So my house is littered with this particular song. And it goes like this. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Can I feel the confidence? Why is that? Because God is my refuge, because God is my strength, because God is within her and he will not be moved. I cannot be taken out of his hand. I'm his child. For now and for eternity. It was said, it was prayed. Even though we fail, even though we get it wrong, even though at times we think and say things that we know are not in keeping with the will of God, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Be still and know that I am God. I don't know how many churches around Northern Ireland have that as their kind of tax up at the front of the church. Be still and know that I am God. One of the most difficult things to do is to be still. I've been threatened with violence that if I move away from this kind of pulpit today, I've got to be still. I don't do it good. I like to go on my wee walks. I like to come back. But I'm not allowed to do that today. And it's right that at times this little verse is used to the Christian, to the believer, to bring them to a state of calm. Be still, settle down. In the chaos of life, draw aside and come into God's presence and know him for who he is. And that's probably a good application of that verse, and it's always how I've kind of looked at it and thought about it. But then if you look at the context that this passage is being written in, God's not addressing his people, he's addressing the nations. And be still is a command. And what he's saying to the nations is, stop it. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop fighting. I don't know where you stand with God today. I don't know if you have a personal relationship with him. I don't know if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe God, as we come into 2025, is saying to you personally, stop fighting. Stop kicking back against me. Be still. And know him for who he is. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. Hard to believe that, isn't it? Little fellowship meeting up in a first floor room. He says, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac is with you. Do we hold on to that as we come into a new year, as we come in and face new challenges in our community? Do we have the same confidence? Will you invite him? Even if you're here this morning and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that he went to the cross, he paid for your sin, took your penalty, will you invite him to be your refuge and your strength? An ever-present help in time of trouble. He's not just a help, but an ever-present help. You don't exhaust it. Don't run out. I've said this on other occasions when I've spoken this psalm as a little boy. Growing up, there used to be a battery, and it was called Ever Ready. Yeah. Now you get all sorts of different batteries. Rechargeable Duracell, promise you the world. But I always remember having a drawer in our house at the bottom of the Armour Road. It was the battery drawer. It's where the batteries were kept. And you used to go through about a dozen of Ever Ready batteries, and none of them worked. They didn't do what was said on the tin. They were not ever ready. And yet what we read here in Psalm 46, God, who is our refuge, who is our strength, is ever present. He is our help in times of trouble. May God encourage you. May God bless you. Bless your pastor, John, as you come into a new year, a new season, and the hearts that you have for this community and for the people of this community, that God will strengthen you, God will bless you,